Hi everyone, my name is Adam Small.
And I'm Jake Moses.
Welcome to our podcast, The Performer's Pathway.
A podcast adventure to help guide and navigate your musical life and career.
As a prelude to every episode, we'd like to remind our listeners that this podcast is about the other side of the musical coin. One side, which you see a lot at our website, mymusicmasterclass.com, is what to do in the practice room. And the other side is how to maximize your talent and skills in the real world, and that's what this podcast is about. Also, if you have a few extra seconds to spare,
which is technically only 3 beats at 60 BPM,
please subscribe to our show on your podcast app of choice and rate us 5 stars. You can leave a comment about absolutely anything, too. That small act of kindness will really help us expand our audience and continue to create new episodes.
And lastly, word of mouth is always super helpful. So if you like what you hear, please tell the world.
Before we get started here, I want to mention our monthly guidebook slash workbook called The Motivated Musician. It's geared towards serious musicians and it offers challenges, exercises, professional advice, and more to help keep your musical life and career on track. Also, as an extra perk, members get exclusive discounts from My Music Masterclass, so if you want to learn more, go to mymusicmasterclass.com, hit subscribe in the header, and you'll be good to go.
With that being said, let's trek further down the path of
performance, perception, and peanuts.
Peanuts, like Garibaldi, whatever the hell that dude is.
Exactly, except you got it wrong. You got the drummer of Tower of Power. That's David Garibaldi.
Which, why do I always do that?
It just makes me angry. It's that's another Italian American. Very insulting.
I'm awful with Italian.
No, it's the peanuts thing has nothing to do with this podcast except for the fact that I was checking out, which I do every year, Vince Guaraldi's Christmas. He did all the music for the Peanuts cartoons.
Oh, it's a Guaraldi Garibaldi.
Yeah.
Damn it. Anyway, did they ever play together?
No, Vince Guaraldi died when he was like 47 years old, and he was born in 1923 or something like that. He was, but his music, if you haven't checked it out, it's just non-denominational. I mean, you don't have to be, you could be Jewish, Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, whatever you are. And yeah, it's just like an amazing, amazing music. And I think most people in the world know that record, the Charlie Brown Christmas, or just Vince Guaraldi Trio Christmas. It's some of the best composed, perfect music for the holiday season, regardless.
I think I'm just going to go with Vinny G.
Exactly. Anyway, that's the only reason that's the only reason I put peanuts in there. Plus, it was alliteration, the performance, perception, and peanuts. But that has nothing to do with what we're talking about here. So this episode is all about perception. So imagine putting yourself in your 18-year-old body, and that's granted that you're not 18 already, right? What would that feel like? Let's say you're 30 or 25 or 40 or 50 or 60 or more. What would that feel like to just go back in time, let's say 10 years or 20 years, and just put yourself straight in your body at a different time?
But now, you have your mind from today.
Yeah, correct. This is hard to imagine because how we feel at a certain time is not something like we attach to our long-term memory. You know, we can remember that we were able to run a 6-minute mile or do something physically that had a number attached to it when we were younger. Like Jake, I know you were like, I ran track when I was younger. So you can remember being able to do that. But do you actually remember what you felt like when you were in high school?
Yeah, I felt like not doing it and I was lazy, but I knew I could do it. I could literally do anything and it wouldn't matter.
Right.
I'd feel the same.
Yeah, but if you put yourself now in that body, you'd be like, shit, I feel like I'm like in good shape. You know what I mean? Like I have a lot of energy, yeah. Don't you think?
That is not what I'd be doing though.
Exactly.
I would not be impressing girls with my intellect of a 37-year-old man in my 18-year-old body.
Agreed.
I would be cooking awesome stuff. People would be like, how the hell do you know how to do this?
You're like, I'm worldly, man. Yeah.
Like, well, I've been living in LA for 11 years. Like, no, I mean,
but this brings me to the point, right? So did you ever see that movie 18 again with George Burns? It was like from the late 80s and George Burns and this other kid, you know, who's 18, it's like his nephew or something. They switch places. It's one of those Swiss movies. And the first thing that, you know, when George Burns switches to his 18-year-old nephew's body is like, man, I feel fucking amazing. Like, you know what I mean? This is like, you know, because you have no perception. Yeah. And
it's stupid.
Yeah, the movie's like not, it's a stupid. Fair. It's a stupid movie, but you know.
No, but I mean, it's like stupid how healthy you are.
Yeah, but you don't realize it. Like everyone,
yeah,
in retrospect, thinks that they were like had no energy, were exhausted, but like you just adapt slowly to how your body is.
And that's why I just don't give a shit about like the Instagram yoga people and like workout people. They're all like 18 to like 22. I'm like, wow, that's so impressive. Like, do that when you're 40. You know what I mean? And then
then you deserve a medal.
But those people are badass.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Not like, oh, I'm 18 and I work out. Wow.
Right.
Good job.
But this is the same. This principle is the same as going to a gathering or an event or a meeting or a show where you see a lot of people. And when you get home, you don't necessarily know how you came off. You can remember people's reactions to you, but not an unbiased perception. You know, like you might remember feeling good or feeling edgy, but it's not a true indication of how you acted and how you and like what you were really in that moment. It's usually based on other factors. The same is true with our musical performances, which is why recordings are so valuable. Like musicians often don't know what they sounded like a night before, let alone a decade or more beforehand, right? I mean, we rely on the audience's reaction, other people's comments saying, hey, you sounded good, or yeah, you know, it was a little weird tonight, or the general feeling of the crowd or how the general feeling of the band. It's tough, but perception is just a really weird thing. Like, Jake, you were mentioning the thing about one of our artists, right?
Oh, yeah.
He will not be mentioned by name.
Like, it wasn't even like a playing video. It was just someone who had to do like little snippets, like 2-second snippets of each thing to show us what they had. And he fucking hated everything he did.
Yeah.
Like, ridiculously hated it. And then he listened back way later. It was like, this shit's pretty badass.
Yeah. Like, and this is a guy
fucking amazing.
Yeah. This is a guy who will not be renamed, and he's a good friend and he's awesome. But he also, and he's played with.
He would also laugh at this.
Yeah.
There's so many musicians like that.
Yeah. And I mean, he's super A-list, played with the best in the world. And this is something that affects so many musicians. Like, we have a ton of artists on our site. And as you know, they're amazing. They're all amazing. But
It's almost like a phenomenon.
Yeah,
like,
it's a phenomenon.
It was like real time. Like, he would play something and me and Adam would be sitting there in silence because we're recording.
Yeah.
And we'd look at each other and be like, that was the greatest thing I've ever heard in my entire
perfect.
Life. And then he would immediately just go, that was the worst thing I've ever played in my entire life.
It sounded like a piece of shit. What the fuck
like
am I
two
doing?
Two completely different
perceptions.
Opposite, you know, like,
yeah.
It was nuts.
And it only remedied itself when the tracks were listened back over a week period and he was able to say, wow, that was killing, you know, or that one's good. Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. But the general thing I was saying is that we have so many artists on the site and at least half of them always think they sound like shit. Like, that's the goal. Like, if we do a masterclass with them, they'll be like, oh man, I don't know. I just wasn't feeling it and blah, blah. And I'll be like, let's edit it. And then I'm going to send it to you and you're going to see. And then they'll be like, oh, actually, that's good. Yeah. But it literally happens.
Hopefully we catch them before they just like
start their
career. I don't even know why I'm playing the saxophone. I'm
going to
quit. Go be a doctor.
Exactly. Well, but it's literally like more than half, you know what I mean, of people that think they just sound like shit until they hear it back. And then they're like, oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. You guys did a great job and it sounds pretty good. And it's good. And I sound intelligible and oh, wow. Thanks. But at the time, doesn't matter how great you are, and these are all like I said, super A-list musicians. It's human nature. It's kind of built into our DNA to have absolutely no perception, like, of what we're doing at the moment, you know. And of course, there are different artists that we have that, you know, are fine with whatever. You know, they have a different mindset, and they say, okay, yeah, it's fine. I mean, whatever you put out is fine. Yeah, I don't even have to watch it, you know. And that's a very different mindset, you know. But
like Prince when he's playing basketball,
exactly.
He shoots the ball. He's like, it's good before it even goes in. That's like where you don't want to be quite there, but like,
yeah, that's pretty
cool. I love
cool.
that scene.
So to be honest, this is kind of built into our DNA. But there are things we can do to be more aware of ourselves at the present time. Basically, in life, we need to take breaks and listen to our mind and our bodies, right? So meditation is great. We've talked about that. You know, it allows you to sit with yourself and realize all kinds of stuff from that work, right? Like you'll sit there and you'll be like, wow, my shoulder is really tense, or my hand kind of hurts, or like I have trouble sitting in one spot for 15 minutes or 20 minutes. Like all these things, or you'll realize that in your mind, you keep, if you're doing breath work or mantra work, which is the same concept of like doing something, concentrating on something, and then you have a thought, which is outside of your mantra, which is either breathing or a word or a sound or something. And then what's the word? You very easily go back to your concentrating on your breath, for instance, or your mantra. And then another thought comes into your mind. You realize you're thinking about it. And then you just slowly, you know, you just go calmly back to your mantra, and you just keep pushing yourself back to that mantra or breath work. So that's kind of like a window into our minds of what is going through our minds all time, right? What's going in on our brains?
It's nonstop.
It's nonstop, right? It's like this radio frequency. It's just like static. Yeah. And you know, if that's going on at all times, like just that awareness, it makes you more aware of the present, like, you know, of what's going on. And eventually after doing that work, you are a little more centered, or a lot more centered. There's other things that I've dabbled in. I took an Alexandra.
Yeah, get there quicker.
You know. Yeah. Like I've taken an Alexander technique lesson with Mastana Nazarian, who was on our show before on the podcast. You should check that episode out if you haven't. And I was interested. So I did a lesson with her. I have to do more. But the first one was very interesting. And what it does is it challenges your perception of how you are, you know, in terms of starting with your pot, like how you sit, how you grab a pencil, and like, how can you imagine moving this part of your body without that? And it's very technical, but it's
you grab a pencil because you're old. Young people don't use pencils.
You're a jerk. Without. Yeah, exactly.
There's no perception there. That's just truth.
Is the pencil thing, is that the thing that you use to wind the tape, the cassette?
Yeah. She's like, okay, see that pencil on your desk? Grab that. You're like, okay. You're like, what does that mean?
Throw it away.
It means you're fucking old. Yeah. You throw it away and use your computer.
Yeah. It means you need Alexander technique or pain meds. No. But that kind of work also, you know, it breaks open this thing in your mind, or this like aha moment where you say, what the fuck? Like that is weird that I do this a certain way, or that I do this a certain way. And it's automatic things. So Alexander technique is something that can draw your perception inward and make you more aware of normal things that you do without knowing, and how you feel during the process.
This is like doing it in a controlled way.
Yes.
So it's healthy, because you don't want all the, you know, perception police coming to you from someone else when someone's like, you know what?
You're an asshole.
You're a dick. Yeah. I hate you. And I'm breaking up with you. I'm taking the dog. You know what I mean? And you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, and then all of a sudden your friends are like, nah, she's got a point, dude. You're pretty awful. Yeah. And you're like, oh my God. And then you just go down a rabbit hole of like, you never knew any of this stuff about yourself, you know?
Which has happened to so many people, including, myself. I mean, everyone has had a moment from their birth to adulthood where like something has been spun, like something has been thrown at them, and everyone feels it and they have no fucking idea.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, like, you know, oh, that man. Like whenever you know, like, whenever you're around people, you just talk over everyone. You're like, oh, I had no idea. I'm sorry. Shit.
And that's the thing.
Cause everyone feels that.
You would know.
Yeah.
Like I have so many flaws like that, and it's one of those things where you secretly and quietly like try to work on it,
right?
But like definitely knowing is like half the battle. But this stuff is like a soft serve of how to get there, you know, through meditation
without the intervention. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
But you know basically doing shit for yourself in a mindful way is helpful. Like exercise is great, you know, it is, it's great for you, and we've talked about that, and Jake and I should probably both do that a lot more or at all. But you know, also I would suggest, if you're exercising, if you always have the TV on and like all this stimulus and you're just running on a treadmill, that like once in a while you might want to shut that off and run on a treadmill or an elliptical without anything. Maybe some music. You know, music's cool, but sometimes just being with yourself is, again, it's sobering. And it's, I think that's why it's hard for people. Like, they want this stimulus all the time to exercise, to a TV or to this, and to catch up on Netflix. And man, I'm all with you. But there are times, you know, I think you should intersperse, you know, this silent time into your exercise too, just so you can get that time alone with yourself and you can say, all right, well, yeah, my shoulder hurts a little bit, or, you know, maybe I can control my breath while I'm running, or anything to calm your mind, or even just work out something that you're struggling with during the day that you need to think about.
But yeah, for music, the stuff's way different, because no one's going to tell you, like, there are no interventions with music unless you play with like a band leader that's going to be like, yeah, you're awful, you're fired. That's the only intervention you get with music. That's the thing. That's why you have to do it personally, like, yeah, specifically with music, because no one is going to tell you.
I mean, they may, but that's a thing with music too, is that we've talked about this, and this is actually a great point that you brought up, Jake. It's like, during the course of being a professional musician in New York and Los Angeles, there are friends, if you have musical friends, they'll often have that heart-to-heart with you if they have to. But yeah, if you lose out on an audition, you just didn't get the audition. I mean, you can once in a while, if you ask in a really nice way, and I know musicians that have done this, ask like why they didn't get a part. You know, it's same with it being an actor or something, like why didn't they get the gig? And sometimes a musical director, sometimes, you know, not all the time and not a lot of the time, sometimes they'll tell you, they'll be like, well, you know, to be honest, we were, you know, looking for this other person that sang better than you, and they played guitar, or, you know, something that's really constructive, and you can be like, oh, wow, maybe I need to get better at singing.
Yeah. Which, or you could probably just do.
Yeah, which you could do.
Like, or telling people that you even do it.
or something crazy that you, I mean, something that you hadn't even thought of. Like, they'll say, you know, the gig was a country gig, and you came in with a biker jacket, and the, you know, man or woman who got it, the gig, was wearing a country hat and looked more of the part, and both of you all played well. So we picked the person that looked the part too, you know.
Or it could be like the MD wants to date your cousin.
Exactly.
They don't want to hire you because it would be inappropriate.
Well, in that case, you won't get that answer. But the point is that most of the time you just don't get a gig and you don't know why. And that's why that what you said is so important, Jake. It's like, you just simply...
Well, it's
like,
then it's left up to your brain to just make up the worst shit ever.
Yeah, exactly. Or why aren't I getting called? Like, you know, I see my friend just got called to do this gig, and like my other friend just got called to do this gig, and why is she on the Tonight Show? You know what I mean? Like, whatever the case is, you have to do this work yourself, because it's exactly what Jake said. Like, no one is going to tell you everything about how you're coming off. And maybe someday people will be like, yeah, well, you know, remember that rehearsal you were doing and you were like really hard to work with, and you were kind of like fighting the MD, or this happened, like that word got around, or, you know, this other thing, or you got a reputation for this or that, or it could be something much more simple.
Remember when you did that 64th note triplet run in the middle of from going from G triad to C triad in that ballad?
It was inappropriate.
Yeah, that wasn't cool. Yeah.
And it's all over the YouTube as things not to do, and it's got millions of views.
You could have at least used something other than Locrian.
Symmetrical diminished, not cool. All right. I mean, this translates completely to music. We did this amazing masterclass with Gilad Hexelman, I don't know, a year or two ago, I guess, like a little over a year.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know.
Pre-COVID.
Pre-COVID.
PC.
I feel like we're all in the singularity right now. So there is the time and space. It's like if you're at the precipice of the black hole and you watch someone going in, apparently it's stuck in time. Like, you never see them enter the black hole. I saw this documentary about it. I don't know. Anyway, that's beyond me. We could ask, you know, an astrophysicist to come on the program later. But anyway, so we did this thing with Gilad, and what he was talking about was his time exercises that he does. And it's getting comfortable with time. And what he does is, it's almost a meditative exercise, but what he does is he has his guitar and he has a click, but, you know, he does a thing where he halves it like say he had a click at 120 and then it goes to 60 and then it goes to 30 and then 15 and then 7.5 or, you know, whatever you're going to do. No, wait. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And then, so he does all these exercises where he'll play through a standard, let's say Stella by Starlight or any tune. And the song stays the same tempo, but the click gets farther and farther between. So when it was clicking, let's say it was clicking every 2 and 4, then it's clicking once a measure, then it's clicking every 2 measures, then every 4 measures, then every 8, then 16, whatever the case is. So it ends up that you're playing this entire form with one click. And you really have to be locked in with this time because it's really difficult. But what he does is he scans his body and he says, I scan my body for tension. Like I make sure I'm not counting with my breath or doing anything like to count with my body. Is my shoulder too tense? Like how does my this feel? Like how am I breathing? Am I calm? Like, and this kind of practice, again, that's like a meditation, but in a musical setting, right?
That shit's too hard for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially some ninja shit that you have to get together so that you are able to scan your body in these practice room settings so that you know what your body and your mind should feel like going into a performance. It should be completely centered. And that's what Gila does. Not everyone does that. And there's plenty of musicians that are amazing and don't do that stuff. But that is an example of a super high level musician being completely present and wanting to know exactly what his body and mind are doing at a specific time, scanning everything and making sure that everything he does is because he wanted to do it. It wasn't involuntarily. It wasn't involuntarily done. And by doing that, you can perform in this very present level, being in the now as opposed to being in the later. Like you had to listen to yourself to see what you sounded like.
Well, it's kind of cool too, because it's like that level of musicianship anyway. He's already got like a large buffering zone.
Sure.
Because he knows form. He knows technique. He knows, you know, just the language of music. So it's like he has this huge cushion already, which is like what you want as a musician. But then he's like completely just living like moment to moment. It's like, that's like insane. Because usually with a cushion like that, you're just kind of like, that's why we call it blowing.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're just blowing through fucking the music. Like you're just sailing right through it and you have this nice buffer. But like you don't, at any given point, it's really like, well, where's your actual focus? Mm-hmm. You know, because some people will just say, oh, you don't really have to think. You don't really have to focus. It's like, yeah, but you definitely are. So you might as well get control of that too. And that's kind of what he's doing.
Yeah.
It's like the ultimate control without controlling, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, there are many things that you can do to become more present. I mean, it's a Googleable thing. There's a lot of research into this type of thing. My wife, again, she's a therapist and she deals with being present at all times with her clients and in her job. And so this is a psychological thing. I mean, being present, being in the now, like not, you know, obsessing about the past.
Yeah. I never thought about that. I would actually imagine like,
it's a big thing.
If someone's suffering and you're their doctor.
Yeah.
If they get the slightest hint that you're not there while they're talking to you, that's probably pretty damaging. I never really thought about that.
Well, it's also just
that's like trust.
It's everything. And again, like I'm speaking as a musician and a husband of a therapist, but if you think of trauma or anxiety, like let's start about trauma of something that happened in your past, then that's something you may be dwelling upon that happened in the past. So you have to deal with that problem, right? And then you have the future, which you could be anxious or fearful about something that you're going to do or that you have to do. That could cause problems. But, and of course, all this could be present as well. I mean, you could literally be anxious and fearful in a present situation. So that's not what I mean. And I'm not a therapist like that. And if you have anxiety and fear all the time, on a present level, then you should definitely get help with that. But what I mean is that you're enjoying what's happening right now. You're looking outside. You're like, oh, you know, it's a nice day out. You know, this is what we're going to do. We're going to enjoy ourselves in the park. We're going to enjoy ourselves doing this. I'm not going to worry about what happened yesterday, what happened last year. And of course, this isn't as easy as it sounds sometimes. Like if you do have trauma, that's something you definitely have to work on, probably with a therapist. And trauma is hardcore, and so is anxiety and fear. people are agoraphobic. There's a lot of anxiety about people not wanting to leave their house. People are scared to speak in public. People are scared of doing these things. But being
even
in the
for things they enjoy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's literally just the waiting is like what anxiety is. Once you're doing it, you're fine.
Right. I have a friend who he'll be going on a vacation, right? In let's say 3 months. And then every day he wakes up and he's like, I don't know like what to pack for my vacation. Like it stresses him out. Like just, and I'm like, dude, you're going to go on vacation. Like, you know, I mean, everyone's
like
different.
A good thing.
But that's the thing. It's like, then when you're on vacation, are you enjoying that moment or are you like, oh,
yeah, thinking about,
like,
oh,
is
when
the
I get
house,
back to work.
Yeah, like, is the house cool? Like, oh man, when yeah. I get back, yeah, when I get back to work. So it's like, it's exactly what you said. So anyway, I'm not a therapist. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but these are all core concepts that, you know, you can research. Yeah.
And you need levels of that. So yeah. You're not just like, I'm just going to cheat on my wife right now. No right. One fucking, like, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm just living in the present. And they're like, oh, that's right. I was married. Oh, shit. Yeah, I got to deal with that now.
No, I'm so present. I didn't realize what happened yesterday.
That would be such a good excuse. I'm just living in the present, babe. It's all good.
That's a good point, but I'm hoping that no one would take my words to say that.
People need to add that to like the wedding vows. To have it to hold, to live in the present to a certain extent. Yeah.
To live in the present but not forget about the past. How about that?
Or the future.
Yeah, or the future, exactly. But
you could definitely forget about the future, as weird as that sounds.
Right. But, you know, that being said, I think that's it for now. We're just going to wrap this one up as our holiday edition the pre-holiday
record yourself.
Edition.
Listen to yourself.
Yeah.
The same way, you know, shut the TV off when you're exercising.
Yeah.
You need to, like, actually pay attention to what you actually sound like, what you feel like, all that stuff.
Yeah, like, make sure that you're mindful and mindful is a good word. That's a therapist word, you know. Be mindful in your practice so that you don't just get out of the practice room. You're like, I have no idea what I just did in there for an hour. Like, that's not helpful, you know. Like, you need to be super laser focused, because if you're not laser focused in the practice room, you're going to be a mess on stage, you know. I mean,
you're like, I don't know if that was Flight of the Bumblebee or yeah. Flight of the Dragonfly. I forgot. Fuck.
I mean, it's often that, like, you know, you'll do an hour gig and, you know, sometimes you just come off and you're like, I have no idea what happened up there. You know, I mean, it's not, you don't want to be there.
It'll just happen.
And sometimes, you know, you can be in this total like zone, this meditative zone where you're just kind of like feeling it. And that's different, you know, but in that case, it probably sounds pretty good. You know what I mean? Like if everything is just so flowing that you don't even have a general critique or like, that's good, you know.
Yeah, if you played like Ascension or something like that,
exactly,
you probably won't remember what the hell happened.
Yeah, and agreed. Like, so there are points to this, but if it was because you were worried about this or worried about that, or like if you can basically remember your gig and be like, well, I remember that I didn't really like my sound for the first two tunes, and then like if that's all you remember, you know, and then like, and then I fucked up the bridge in the third tune. And then the fourth, like, I wasn't happy about, I was like soloing. And then the third chorus, I kind of like ran out of ideas. Like, that to me is like, that's a bad, I don't know, a bad conversation you're
that's
having
bad,
in your head.
But that's, you know, that's okay stuff a little bit to a certain extent as like a student.
Oh, no.
Like, you should be focusing more on like, oh, I tried to mirror like the bass solo and I think I did okay, but right. Not really. I need to learn how to, like, I should listen more because I kind of lost my train of, you know, like stuff like that.
But
it's more constructive, it's more fun.
Again, now, bad was the wrong word. It's not, I should have said it's not the goal, because you know, when you're performing, you don't want to be thinking those things because they're going to take you out of the moment. We've talked about that in other podcasts. Yeah. You want to do that in the practice room so that when you play, you can just be open and just try to let your ideas flow out. And then if you make a mistake, just try to gently move on like a mantra. Just say like, all right, that was me going away from my breath or my mantra, come naturally back to the music so that you don't fuck up the bridge because you were thinking about the mistake you just made. You know, you don't want to have it steamroll into something else. So
that's the thing. I mean, you could almost like, you know, it depends what kind of music you're playing and what level you're at. But I mean, mostly if you can play a genre of music, don't think of like the stuff that you would be thinking in a practice room. Instead, just be like, I'm a master. Like, I'm going to go and I'm going to focus on some like cool shit, like phrasing and like listening and this and that. Like, don't worry about, like, if you can't play crazy note runs that are out and then connect and all, like, that's fine. Don't think about that if you can't do it. You know what I mean? Like, when you get to that level, you can do that now. That's part of your language. But if you can't do something, then why would you stress over it in the gig? Like, you shouldn't be thinking about that stuff. You should just be like, bring it back to music and be like, okay, here's my ability. Now, how can I like make this performance intellectually cool for me? I know how to connect some chords, so let's play with that.
Yeah. Like, plus, like, the bottom line is you don't necessarily have to have any of those skills. Like, you can be an amazing, soulful, and beautiful and melodic musician without any of those harmonic devices you listed. Like, and you could even play jazz and have a limited vocabulary and an amazing vibe and feel, like Grant Green, who is one of my favorite jazz guitarists, because he just, he's like a blues guitarist and playing jazz, and his feel and his everything, it's just so soulful. But he, it's not like he can play crazy, you know, you know, superimposed like, harmonies or anything. Like, that's not how he played, you know? And he doesn't have the technique that George Benson had, you know what I mean? And and
we should get more into that, though, because that's, how do you actually know where you are? How do you extend that and stuff like that? I think that's a good conversation, because most people will just, they just kill themselves. Like, they get on the bandstand and they just try to be Brad Mehldau, when it's just like, you're not Brad Mehldau, you know? Like, and you probably don't have 90% of those devices that he has.
Right.
So, like, why are you going to try? You know what I mean? It's like,
it's something, but you have to take a deep look at who you are. Yeah, it is destructive. You have to take a deep look at who you are and what you're really good at. And hopefully that's something that you love. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, it makes for a recipe of a very depressed person if, like, you just want to be Pat Metheny and you don't have those chops. But, like,
because you can't use that,
because it's hard, and if you don't have if you don't have the aptitude for that, like, but at the same time, if you realize that you really like Pat Metheny, like, I like Jaco, but I also like James Jamerson, right? So doesn't mean, and Jaco is very, very technical, and I can't do everything he can do, and a lot of the people that I like to listen to, like Hadrian Farode, you know, who's on our site, or these mind-boggling technical bass players. I think it's great and amazing, but it's also not anything I would strive to do as a bass player. I can't do it, you know what I mean? But at the same time, it's not what I'm hearing, and it's I do my thing, and I get hired for that. We get an episode
where it's essentially like technique versus essence. You know,
maybe
what I mean?
That'll, like, be the next one.
Yeah, like Jaco does all this stuff, but that's not his essence. Like,
no,
what is
not his
essence? What do you actually like about him, you know?
Yeah.
And then use that in your playing.
Yeah.
Like, fuck the technique. You can't do what he does, but, like, use, like, get his essence and be like, why do I like that? And then how can I do that with the language that I know?
Yeah, and he's a musical genius. And, you know, this is just an aside. Our monthly guidebook, The Motivated Musician, when Peter Bernstein was on the cover just 2 issues ago, and he, one of his favorite things to listen to was Jaco, and he's a jazz guitarist, right? So you'd think only bass players listen to Jaco, right? He said, no, he's a wonderful composer, and the word of mouth is like genius composition. And so you can feel Jaco was a genius, regardless of if you think that he played too many, if he played too many notes or whatever the case is. Yeah. It's like, you can listen to him and you know he felt it. And it's the same with Coltrane or Miles, who are very, very different, right? Because Coltrane had this crazy energetic style and Miles had this smooth way of phrasing. And they're both so great because you can tell that that's what Miles was hearing and that's what John Coltrane was hearing. And, like, he never felt, and even though John Coltrane kept morphing his sound and morphing his thing to go into different directions, it always felt like him. And that's important. We're going to do another podcast before we go down the rabbit hole in that. But for now,
it's important because it's like, use what you have.
Yeah. But for now, you know, try to be centered, try to realize that you are in the present, and that, you know, think about your tensions and the shit going through your head and all that stuff. And remember to listen to the Vince Guaraldi Christmas. And if all goes wrong, you can just stop there and
Vinny G,
take a nap. It's amazing.
Yeah, naps are good after that.
All right.
See ya. We'll be right back.
questions, comments, episode ideas, hate mail, you can get in touch with us by contact form, email, or voicemail, all of which are available at our website, theperformancepathway.com. If one of your questions or topics makes it into the podcast, with your consent, of course, you'll receive a shiny new $10 gift card for use at mymusicmasterclass.com. That's our sister website, which contains over 600 original educational videos from your musical heroes. So look forward to hearing from you.